Luke 18. We've got a couple more verses to study about the elect. In 18:7 it says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, whom cry day and night unto him, so he bear long with them?" Go to 2 Timothy 2. Verse 7. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Endure all things, never having anything to do with him. He endures all things for the elect's sake. And the stuff that he endured is mind-bending. And then it goes on to say, it's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, that is the same mindset of the elect. If we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign. If we deny, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. We also should not be able. We should not be able to deny ourselves. We should stop opposing ourselves. And we oppose ourselves when we leave faith. Amen?
We oppose ourselves by what means? How does opposing yourself take place?
Any use of your mind. You oppose yourself. Because the way is this. The only way. There's no way. There's nothing else. Your mind can only interrupt it or oppose the way.
So yourself is Christ in that condition.
There's only one self. But you have the capacity to deny him because you still have your mind. And that's where the test comes from.
So you lean on your own arm of understanding.
Right. You plan, you scheme, you do all the things the mind does, and in that you oppose him. We deny him when we do that.
And step out of faith.
Pardon?
You step out of faith because it's scary, you don't think it'll work, you just do all the, all you utilize your talents.
We do all the stupid things.
You're impatient.
Yeah.
All right, 1 Peter, chapter 2, I think. Yeah, let's just read a few. We're going to read all of chapter 2. No, about the first 10 verses. Well, let's start in verse 23 of chapter 1. "Seeing you have purified your souls," 23. "Being born again," or born from above, "not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Again, he repeats this thing from Isaiah. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth, falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. There, the word is the word for rhema. And then in verse 25, or further down, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word there is rhema. And this is the word logos, which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word rhema, you remember, it's the word made flesh. It's the purpose of time and space. Okay? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and evils and envyings and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And again, the elect, he is chosen of God, and then he becomes our life, and we are the elect with him. All right. The same... Unto you, therefore, which believe, in verse 7, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, having disobeyed, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, elect, is what it said. Chosen and elect are the same word. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If in time past you were not a people, what were we?
Gentiles.
We were of the evil one. Impossible to be the people of God. Amen? All right. That's enough. Elect. Everybody understand? It's electos is what it means. Chosen or elect. You were chosen of God before the foundation of the world. You were the elect of God before the foundation of the world. But you have to continue with him in his temptations, in his tests. No longer your test. Now it's all about his test. Amen? All right, let's go back to Luke. Verse 7 again, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Cry is the word boa, and it means to cry for help. Well, let's look and see how it's used. Let's look at Matthew 3. this is where it talks about John the Baptist in verse 3, Matthew 3, 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. There he wasn't crying for help, but he's crying for fulfillment. Then in Mark 15, but he saw the way. Excuse me. When he was baptized, he saw the way.
Yeah, but nothing at that point.
He didn't know.
He couldn't. Like you say, that word fulfillment kind of.
Like it was a dawning awareness.
Yeah.
Just like there should be in us. Every time the scripture is read, that we're no longer of the human race, we're of a different people. Of him, no longer of the world. All right, Mark 15. This is when, this is Jesus on the cross. Verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that's the preeminent word for cry there, the example. He was crying for his help because the Lord had forsaken him. And there was no answer except the resurrection. Which is mind-bending. Think of the faith that caused that to take place.
Yeah.
All right, now Acts 17. I'm speaking to myself. He's in Thessaloniki is what it's called now, but well, it's just the first six verses. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs to have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, or is Messiah. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come here also, whom Jason received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city, whom they heard when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. They got some kind of a bail or bond, you know. Do you think that could happen here in Dallas?
Let's get arrested.
Get arrested for preaching?
Nowadays.
No, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about from America anytime, from the history of the beginning of America till now. What would happen if you spoke against any kind of world system? Democracy, free enterprise. Who? In the name of God, they do it?
I think so.
I don't. But anyway.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. All right. Let's go to Luke 18 back. That's enough on crying. Well, wait a minute. I may have misspoke. No, we need to go there first before we go back to Luke. Go to Galatians. Chapter 4. Verse 13. You know how through infirmity the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation was in my flesh. You despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I now tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. This is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, as in bondage with her children. You understand who this Hagar was? She was the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he called her a bondwoman. And still answers to Jerusalem that now is. That's incredible.
It all makes sense, though.
Yeah. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice thou barren that bearest not. I got to get my glasses. break forth and cry, that thou prevailest not. Now the word for cry is boa. That's why we read it. Read. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. After the flesh, we're children of, we're Hagar. We're children of what your Jerusalem and now is, which is your mind. So that's why it's only by faith that we are children of God. All right, that's enough. I'll go back to Luke. Still in verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? This is fortunately for us, that he bears long with us, because we have all screwed up 1,000 times. Bear long is macrothumio. It's a great word. It's slow to avenge, mild, patience in bearing offenses. Just as he bears long, so are we. Bear long the offenses. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians.
I was reading it in Spanish, and it said, though he linger in responding to them, the people that are crying unto him, but it's kind of slightly different. They translate it differently. You know.
Means the same thing.
Oh, I thought you were meaning, though he bear along with our sin.
Well, he bears long with our rebellion.
Yeah, but
isn't that what it means in Greek? I mean, in Hebrew?
No, in
I mean, in Spanish.
Probably,
sorry.
But in the Spanish, the meaning I'm picking up is that he, in responding to avenge us, well, and perhaps that means a sin. Yeah,
anyway,
all
right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the famous love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or agape, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have all the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not agape, it profiteth me nothing. Agape suffereth long and is kind. And then it goes on, charity envieth not, or agape envieth not. Agape, it vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now the word suffereth long is this word we're studying. So this is the fruit of Christ in us. We suffer wrong, we bear idiocy, whatever. Some of us don't do it very well, but anyway. Let's go to two more and then we'll quit. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Start in verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And the word patient there is the same word, makrothumio. See that none render, let's just go ahead and read to the end of the chapter. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right, one more. 2 Peter chapter 3. We already know that one. We should be better than that. Let's just look at one verse. Oh, that was two verses. Let's chant verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now the word should... His long-suffering is the same word. Now, hear that. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. We've got to see that he's talking to us. He wants us to make sure that there's not one member of the body whose garment is spotted by the flesh. And that's the kind of zeal that we have to see this mystery. I mean, if we believe that that the end may come at any second, there's nothing else that needs to happen, then, I mean, I can't help but see how that could produce zeal in all of us. Sharing it with everybody that you can, you know. Anyhow, that's enough for bearing long. We'll study speedily in the morning. God's definition of speedily is a little different than ours. All right, any response? Any thoughts about about Ab and what we studied and everything? Anybody come away with anything?
Thoughts about Ab?
Ab. A miserable day is what I have, but I had a miserable several days. Anyway, I asked Jeff, I don't know if I asked anybody else, but that summary of at the end that I gave, was that helpful to anybody? Yeah, that still blows me away every time I read that in Luke, that waiting for the consolation of.
Yeah.
All right, take a big guy.